The faith of Joseph. Joseph lived his life trusting God for tomorrow. Trusting God for tomorrow. Joseph lived his life trusting God. We remember Joseph when he was how old when we remember Joseph? 17. He was 17 years old when his brothers sold him into slavery. 17 years old. That's young. That's young. Dad had him for those first 17 years, and then he was gone. But Dad had him, and Dad taught him the Word of God, and Dad taught him the promises of God. And those promises stuck with Joseph all the time of his captivity. All the time, stuck with him. When Joseph was sold into slavery, he was in Egypt. I don't know how many other Christians were around him. You and I have the benefit of coming here on a Sunday morning and sharing verses with each other. And boy, brother, have you seen this verse that I saw this week? And look at this verse. And we have that common fellowship. We have that common encouragement of each other. Joseph, I don't know that he had that. He was in prison. He was in the world, as we would say, Egypt. I don't know what kind of Christian fellowship he had. Joseph did not have the canon of Scripture that we have. We thank the Lord for this canon. We have it. We hold it in our hands. We can read it ourselves. It's written in our language. We're blessed. Joseph didn't have this. Joseph had the promises that God gave him through his father. As a lad, he had those. And God's word carried him all the way through. Carried him all the way through. Hebrews 11:22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Four lesson aims today. Aims of the lesson today. Number one, to see that the last thing we have the privilege to do for God on this earth is to die right. To end strong. When I come to the final days of my life, will I end strong? Will there be any doubt that the Lord God is my Savior? Secondly, to be reminded that those of us who know the Lord are living in a strange land. We're strangers here. It's weird to them. When, as Pastor Seth said, as they went out and passed out tracts, the preacher said, "You can't do that." We're strangers here. My, are we strangers here. Becoming more strangers each day, it seems. But we're strangers here in this land. Our home is in heaven. Thirdly, to make ourselves familiar with the promises of God and claim His promises day by day to find strength for our journey. To find strength for our journey. It comes from the Lord. It comes from being focused on Him and not being focused on the events in our lives. Then fourthly, to determine to be faithful, to pass on the truth of the Word of God to the next generation, just as others have faithfully handed it to us. These truths were delivered to us. We need to deliver them to the next generation. Not just as moms, when we instill it in our children, but as grandpas and grandmas, as friends, instilling it in each other. We need to take the Word of God and proclaim it plainly to a lost and dying world, to a brother that's having a hard time. Pastor said many times, there have been people that used to sit in these pews and they're not here anymore. They've gone away. They're not walking in the truth anymore. We need to encourage each other. Life is hard. Life is not easy. Life is hard. Hard things come. Right on the corner where I live, a hard thing came a week ago. Motorcycle pulled out, girl didn't see him, and took his life. Gone. That's a hard thing. Six children left. That's a hard thing. Life is hard. But God is good. God can be with us through our storms if we'll just look to Him. As Pastor Sexton has said before, we must look beyond the secondary causes, or we must look to what God wants. Not just the event that we see in front of us. We've got to look, God, what do you want me to see through this? What do you have for me through this? Joseph, the life of Joseph, following along in your lesson, in Hebrews chapter 11, the Lord brings us to the death scene of first Isaac, then Jacob, and now Joseph. That's in Hebrews 11, 20, 21, and then now we're in verse 22 with Joseph. In a very real sense, we live all of our lives for one moment. Everything in life is preparation for that final moment. It is a moment when we close our eyes in this world and we open them in the world to come. In 2 Corinthians 5:8, turn with me if you would, 2 Corinthians 5:8, as you're going through this and you see a verse that you think, man, Lord, that's a verse that I should probably learn. There's cards in the seat in front of you. You can just reach and grab one of those cards and write that verse down. Some of these verses are very good to know and have at your disposal. 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. We believe that when we leave this earth, once we die, we're with the Lord. What a blessing that is. The world to come. It's only a breath away. It's not that far away. But it's heaven. It's the promises that God has taught us through this, His completed canon of Scripture. For the child of God, this will be the moment that we behold the Lord face to face. Man, what a blessing. What a blessing. What will you do? What will I do? Probably fall to our knees and praise Him for the wonderful things that He did for us. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. This is a boy that, again, that was taken from his home at the age of 17, that was taken out from underneath the godly influence in his life at the age of 17. And here it is, the end of his life, and he hasn't forgotten his God. His faith is still strong in his God. This sums up the entire life of this wonderful Bible character. Turn with me to Matthew 6:31. Matthew 6:31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall ye eat, or what shall ye drink, or what, or whatsoever shall, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What a Bible! What a character in the Bible, Joseph! What a man of character! When Joseph was just a 17-year-old boy, he was taken by his brothers and sold into slavery. We remember that he was sold into slavery. Went to Potiphar's house, served there faithfully. Accusation made against him, put him in prison. And God had a plan for him. Through every single step of Joseph's life, God had a plan. In prison, God had a plan. He was going to do what? He was going to deliver the world. He was going to deliver the world. He himself, God was going to use to deliver the world. God had a plan for him. He remained faithful. He was faithful in Potiphar's house. He was faithful under the Pharaoh. Joseph was always faithful. Joseph had learned the life of faith from his father. He lived to be 110 years old. This means that he lived in Egypt for 93 years. 93 years. The truth placed into the heart of a child will serve that child all of his life. Parents, grandparents, plant that truth in their hearts. Teach them little Bible verses that mean a lot. Talking to the physical therapist, she remembers John 3:16. That's the only Bible verse she remembers. I said, that's a good verse. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Truths placed in their little hearts. And not just children. Truths that you place in the hearts of the people that you work with. The people that you go to the store with. You put out a gospel tract in the hands of the cashier, of the waitress. Those truths planted, it's a seed. And then that seed gets watered and God gives the increase. But that truth placed in their little hearts. Yet he lived a faithful life, faithful to the only true and living God. Joseph lived for the Lord. Father teaching him the principles for those first 17 years of his life, and then him being gone, very possibly with no other godly influence for all those years. And yet the faith that his father had instilled in him was strong and did not leave him. Dying in a strange land, on the next page, let us not only think about the life of Joseph, remember that all of God's children die in a strange land. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 50 and verse 15. Genesis 50 and verse 15, yes. Verses 15 through 20. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespasses of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of the servants of God, of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake this unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God. Joseph was not in the place of God to bring punishment on them. That was not his place. Joseph's heart was not that. We saw Joseph's heart earlier when they came in to him. The water was a long ways away. That was a bad plan. We see that Joseph's heart earlier, when the boys had come in and were trying to buy food, and Joseph hadn't yet revealed himself to them, we see Joseph, what? Excusing himself at one point and crying. These are my brothers. I love them. The forgiveness had already been there. The forgiveness had been there for a long time. And yet here it is, the end of Joseph's life, and they are worried. And how could they not have known his heart? It must have been plain. He after that had revealed himself to them. I'm your brother Joseph. And then he had cared for them. He had brought them from their land where they had no food. And he was providing for them and done all that. And yet they just did not understand. They didn't get it. They didn't get it. Here at the end of Joseph's life, they're worried. How sad it was when Joseph's brothers did not understand his heart. Joseph truly wanted them to know that he had forgiven them. Joseph told his brothers, "You thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good," in Genesis 50 and verse 21. The story continues in Genesis 50, verse 21 through 26. You should still be there in Genesis 50, verse 21. 21 through 26. "Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them, and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived in 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knee. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land, unto a land which he sware unto Abraham and Isaac and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he's put in a coffin in Egypt. Joseph knew that Egypt was not his home. Canaan was his home. All the luxury, all the beauty, all the charm, and the intrigue of Egypt never caught Joseph's heart for all of those years. We're going to die. And those of us who know the Lord are going to die in a strange land. Our home is in heaven. We are headed to glory. Joseph understood this very well. We're headed to glory. What a promise. What a Savior that he took us from this earth and seated us in the heavenlies. You and I, when we became a Christian, we were right then seated in the heavenlies. A done deal, all done, a permanent thing. Now our body, we're still here, we're finishing out this life, but we are already seated in the heavenlies. It's already a done deal. The promise of God is already delivered upon our lives. We are already in heaven. We just finish out this life. It's not, well, you know, if I don't kill anybody, if I don't end my life in sin. No, we are already seated in the heavenlies. It's already a done deal. Ephesians 2:6 tells us that. Then departing from Egypt, in his death, Joseph made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Joseph made everybody around him very aware of what God was going to do in the future and of what they were to do with his bones. And for 200 more years, they'd care for those bones. And then the wandering, those 40 years in the wilderness, they would care for those bones. They'd carry those bones and carry those bones. When they left Egypt, what'd they take with them? The bones of Joseph. They carried him around for 40 years, and then finally they brought him into the promised land. They brought him in. Departing from Egypt, Jacob had taught his sons the promise of God and had made to Abraham in Genesis 15, verses 13 through 16. And God had said that Abraham's seed would be in a strange land and serve there 400 years. When Joseph was dying, he knew that there were 200 more years to go. But he knew that God had made a promise and that God would keep his promise. You and I need to be very familiar with God's promises. We need to understand that God will keep his promise. The promises that God makes to you out of this book, and he will make promises to them, as you sit personally, you and God, and you open this book, God will make promises to you. You'll see it. Wow, that's a promise for me. That's a promise for me. And you'll have those promises. And God will fulfill those promises. We need to be familiar with God's word. We need to be familiar with these truths. We need to be familiar with the promises of tomorrow and the promises of eternity. We must claim those promises and lean on those promises each day to find strength for our journey. May God send constant reminders that we are pilgrims and strangers. This isn't our home. We're just here for a little while. We are pilgrims. Hebrews 11:13, turn with me to Hebrews. Again, Hebrews 11:13. It's amazing in Hebrews 11. Now remember, these characters, these Bible characters in Hebrews chapter 11, they did not have the benefit of holding the entire canon in their hand. They didn't have this God's word. Yet they were given truths, as Joseph was when he was a lad, given truths by his father, passed on to his father, and then his father to him. Given those truths, and those truths lasted to them. But remember the people in Hebrews chapter 11, this hall of faith that we call, they didn't have this. They had truths that they had been taught. They didn't have the benefit that we have. We have a benefit they did not have, the canon of Scripture. Hebrews 11:13. Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They were strangers. They were pilgrims. This wasn't their home. Their home was in heaven. And of course, Hebrews chapter 11 is about those that died and have gone on before. Those that fought the fight, finished the course, and have gone on before. God said that Abraham's seed would be in a strange land and serve there 400 years. When Joseph was dying, depositing his bones. Joseph knew he was going to die in Egypt, and his bones could serve as a mighty witness of his faith in God. His bones would speak. He brought all the heads of the people together and commanded them concerning his bones in Genesis 50, verses 24 and 25. Joseph knew what he was doing. He knew the people in charge of his bones would have to remember God's promise to his people every time they thought of his bones. God has given us something that has been handed down from one generation to the next. It is the sacred, holy, inerrant word of God. Passed down to you and I. What are we going to do with it? Every time we read it, teach it, preach it, and memorize it, we're reminded of our God and all that he has promised to do for us. With diligence, let us guard and proclaim the word of God to the next generation. Joseph had been told it as a young lad from his father. He had lived all those years in captivity, and yet it never slipped from him. When he died, it was still the main thing guiding his life. Jude 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Delivered to Joseph. Joseph delivered it. It's delivered to us. We need to deliver it. We need to be faithful. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for the word of God. Lord, you've given it to us. You gave it to generations before us. They've delivered it to us. Lord, we need to deliver it to tomorrow's generations. Lord, help us to realize that life can be hard, but yet you are still there. You're still working. Lord, help us to look for the secondary causes and not just what we see in front of us, the events around us. Might we look through them and see what you would have. Lord, help us to live and honor you in our lives. Lord, truly you are worthy. You are truly worthy of our lives. Lord, this week, may we give you our lives. Thankful for these testimonies here in Hebrews chapter 11 about those that live for you. Lord, although we'll never be written in this canon, Lord, might we be faithful and have our names written. No, not in this canon, but that we were faithful to the end, that we served you, that we honored you in our lives. Lord, our desire is that our lives would please you. We thank and praise you for this, your word. In Jesus' name, amen.